What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the line. Ravens win yesterday 28-25, but they did have some issues, especially in the fourth quarter, especially in the second half, with penalties. Right, John Harbaugh?
I think we need to eliminate the penalties. That's what we need to do. And they're hurting us. They're costly. Whether you think they should be called or not, I'm sure we'll look at the tape. I'm sure there's some questionable ones. You guys might know more than I do. It doesn't matter. We've got to eliminate the penalties.
I mean, Bob, in the last two games, they've had 24 penalties in the last two games. You can't. And they had 10 penalties in the second half, most of them in the fourth quarter. You can't win games that way, because what it does is it like makes Lamar first and 20. And it gives Dallas extra first downs and you chunk plays. You know, they happen, you know, end of the first half, they get 35 yards on a PI. They've got to eliminate penalties. And, you know, they start the one that was going to really kill them on the kickoff with 2 minutes ago, you know, 2:40 or whatever go in the game. They're starting the series back on the 15-yard line. And the thing that was scaring me, you know, all right, if they don't complete that pass to Flowers, Aubrey can kick a 70-yarder. You know, I mean, I was telling Beck, we're going to overtime. You know, I mean, that's they got to get rid of penalties, because a lot of them, they're stupid penalties.
But is it fatigue? Is it lack of discipline? A combination of things? You would think that they'd be a little more in tune with the game situation and what. And there were some questionable calls. Let's not deny that, too.
Yeah. And, like the one on Oway was a questionable call. But
illegal contact was total garbage.
Yeah. I mean, and then offensively, you got a couple holding penalties that you're first and 20. And if you're just running the ball, I mean, it's hard to make up 20 yards. But, you know, they did, because Lamar gets 18 on first down and all that. But defensively, the penalties really killed him.
Now, John Harbaugh, after the game, met with the media, as he does all the time, and Ravens' big lead disappeared. Energy level in the fourth quarter, Harbs, what's going on there?
I thought everybody really got locked in on trying to get the job done. Everybody understood what needed to be done. You know, we're trying to get stops, and we're focusing on that. And then we got back out there trying to end the game with the offense on the field.
Well, they were trying to get stops. They didn't get a one. So, I mean,
I keep trying to hit the Mega Millions, and it ain't happening.
Yeah, I mean, defense, we need a stop. They can't go 91 on you. Yes, they can. So, all right, defense, you can't get it done. Special teams, can you get it done? Nope, you can't get it done. And offense, Lamar, can you please get it done? Yeah, the MVP got it done. I mean, he made the pass and then the run after the pass. The two first downs ended the game. Otherwise, Bob, they may have lost that game.
Now, Ravens pick up their first win, almost blew a big lead. But John Harbaugh was asked whether or not it was the always fun must-win game.
We consider every game a must-win, you know. But if you don't win a game, your season's not over. It's a lot of football to be played. And this is a very good football team. You know, you saw it out there. They're very capable. They're a very tough team. And I just proud of the way our guys handled it. You know, we're trying to get a win every week. We're trying to be 1-0. The last week doesn't matter. The next week doesn't matter. It's this week that we're focused on. Lamar preaches it to the guys all the time.
Yeah. You know what's funny was, because you saw, like, when Tucker was going to kick the field goal, Lamar's over on the bench. He and Flowers, they're laughing, they're joking and everything. And then you see him like 5 minutes later, and it's intense as hell on that bench. You know, I mean, look at how Harbs was on Osa. You know, I mean, he's got his eyes closed. Yeah. He's looking down. That butthole was getting puckered. Mine would have been too. I mean, I was getting nervous during that game watching. I'm saying, no.
Well,
it
how
can't
about,
be.
We getting back to Justin Tucker, John Harbaugh giving him the I love you, man, after the game.
Yeah.
I love you, man.
Well, they're going to need him, Bob, and you got to get his confidence back. I'm guessing that a lot of it right now is between the ears, and he's got to get that right because, I don't know, he shanked the hell out of that kick.
As Ryan Ripken would say, maybe he's a little domed up.
Yeah.
Right now, it's in his dome. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is news from the nest here on this Victory Monday. The Ravens did get the win on the road. They covered the spread, hit the over if you had money on the thing. But Daniel Faalele, he took a lot of smoke last week. Oh, Kevin Allstriker, who we'll have on tomorrow, just pretty much eviscerated him. But here's Lamar defending his big guy.
Yeah, of course, I've seen it. You know, I see a lot of things when they be tweeting and stuff. But, you know, that's just social media, but at the end of the day, he's getting paid to do what he's supposed to do, and he busting his behind each and every time. It's not like he's trying to, you know, mess up. All of us make mistakes out there on that field, you know, but he came in clutch for us today, and I want the same people who was giving him that doubt to get praise him, you know, give him that credit, you know, for what he deserved.
I give him a little credit today in the run game. Now, Lamar, that's the same dude that's making you run around everywhere, you know, but hey, he looked better. He in the run stuff, I give him a thumbs up in the run game stuff. Now, in the pass game stuff, he still needs a lot of work there.
Speaking of the run game, Lamar Jackson, what about 22 yesterday for you guys?
He showed off. You know, he did what kings do, you know, they're here.
Yeah, he did. He ran hard, caught the ball. The only thing was, Bob, was the last couple... Like the one run where he slipped out and fell, that was kind of a killer. Got no yards on that one, and he got no yards on the last two times he carried. He got no yards, which, you know, I mean, they're putting 10 men up there because they know you got to keep the clock running. You're running it. So I thought Henry, that was his best game as a Raven.
And finally, if you missed postgame, Tom Rinaldi of Fox talked to Lamar out in Dallas, and here's that conversation.
How much did this group need this win? We needed it bad, you know, because I believe some people are on suicide watch.
Some fans on suicide watch. And if they were 0-3 and, you know, blew the big lead like that, I don't think literally people would be jumping off bridges, but they'd be jumping off bandwagons, that's for sure.
Well, I mean... You know, Harb said that it wasn't a must win. It was a must win. Because if you go down 0-3, I mean, historically, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got Buffalo coming in, and then you got to go to Cincy, and you're probably hoping that if we can split those two, we're in good shape. But to be 1-4, that would have been a tough deal. So that was a big, big must win, in my opinion.
And we'll hear more from the parties involved when we get to NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, joins us bottom of the hour. Minnesota, how about them? 3-0, man, doing
good
their thing
them.
In the NFC with Sam Darnold at quarterback. Boy, he's been a punchline for quite some time. He's shutting people up, at least for now. So we'll talk to Jared about that and more in preview. Tonight's games, two of them. Got your American League East report and beyond at 12:45. But coming up next, counting dough, hopefully, by yourself. Vinny Hayden.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nolan here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Got a lot going on. World of sports. Ravens are 1-2. Pick up their first win on the road. They were favored. Let's bring that one up. Orioles have dropped 5 straight series. The Georgians takes 2 out of 3. Terps are 3-1. Plenty going on. We'll get to as much as we can. But right now, let's count some money, hopefully, by yourself.
Yeah, Bob, it's pretty flat today. I mean, the Dow is up Well, now it's down 5.
What?
It just changed. The S&P's up 9. NASDAQ is up 19. DraftKings up 37 cents. Under Armour's down 26 cents.
Get our sports topics started in the NBA here. Last week, the 76ers and their star player, Joel Embiid, reached an agreement on a new 3-year max extension worth $193 million. It's going to keep him in Philly through the 2028-29 season, at which point the former MVP will be 35 years old. He, at the time of signing the contract, reiterated his desire to remain a 76er for life and, of course, continue the chase for the elusive championship. The team has remained committed to him as their centerpiece all this time during the rebuilding efforts, the process up until today. But again, a lack of postseason success has followed. Buy or sell, Bob, Embiid will be a rare case of a modern player only wearing one jersey in their career.
Oh, boy. I will soft buy that. I mean, his age starts to catch up to him a little bit, and maybe the shortcomings of the Sixers in the playoffs. And I think they're going to be very, very dangerous in the East this year. Maybe it wears and tears. Then he starts demanding trades, and maybe he gets moved. But I'll soft buy, kind of, sort of, you know, we'll see.
Over to the NFL, the Panthers benched Bryce Young last week, went with Andy Dalton as their starter. Even after doing that, they remained adamant that they hadn't given up on last year's first overall pick. But according to Adam Schefter, a handful of teams have reached out and asked the Panthers about potentially trading for Young, but Carolina not engaging fully, at least for now. Hard to pinpoint his value. Again, first overall pick last year, that has to count for something, but it was a very rough showing for him as a rookie. Slow start through 2 games this year, and then he gets benched. How much of it's him? How much of it is his surroundings? Buy or sell, Vinny, Young will be traded before the start of next season.
Before the start of next season. I'm going to sell it. I'm guessing Andy Dalton's probably on a 1-year deal. And Andy Dalton's not going to make it through the whole season. So he'll have another opportunity. We'll see what he does with that.
They look like a different team yesterday, though.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
Last week, we saw Shohei Ohtani make history, had that monster game, pushing himself past the 50-50 milestone. Prior to the at-bat in the 7th inning, where he would hit number 50 off Mike Bauman, former friend of ours, gave up number 50, so he was a part of history. But prior to that at-bat, there was some thought in the Marlins dugout, hey, do we walk this guy, hope that history gets made off of someone else? Well, Skip Schumacher, he spoke afterwards about the decision to pitch to Ohtani with first base open and 2 outs. His quote says, that's a bad move baseball-wise or karma-wise. You go after him, see if you can get him out. I think out of respect for the game, we're going to go after him. He hit the home run. That's just the deal. Bob, buy or sell, regardless of results, Schumacher made the right decision.
Oh, we're buying it. We talked about it on Friday. All about respecting the game.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes they're just better than you are, and this guy's on a different level. Ohtani, in 2024, the Marlins have been a colossal disappointment for various reasons. But I'll respect Skip Schumacher's decision. Skip Schumacher might be the manager of the White Sox next year, by the way. Isn't that the scuttlebutt there?
A little college football here. Michigan found themselves in unfamiliar territory, home underdogs against USC, but still managed to pull out the win thanks to their run game and their defense. 290 yards on the ground, just 32 through the air, excuse me. That was more than enough, though, for the win. The Wolverines survive another week in the top 25 after some questioned their legitimacy. We know the daunting schedule that remains, matchups against Oregon, Ohio State, even Washington on the road could be interesting. But Vinny, buy or sell, Michigan can ride this past Saturday's formula, running and defense, to another double-digit win season.
I'm going to sell it because they're going to get down. He can't throw the ball. And they didn't even try to throw the ball with him because they knew they couldn't throw the ball. If they don't get the pick six, they lose that game. Wink's defense was spectacular in that game.
Isn't the quarterback's name Orgy?
Orgy.
That's how it's spelled.
Orgy.
So much for our picks.
That's great, by the way.
The Trojan was useless in the origin.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway. Good one there, Norm.
No, I tried it on Friday.
You did it Friday.
Oh.
Didn't get much of a pop, so you try it again.
Yeah.
Play the hits.
Second time.
We'll close with this here. Bo Bichette. His season got cut short last week, been placed on the IL with a broken finger, bringing an end to probably the worst statistical season so far in his young career. He battled injuries throughout, only played in 81 games, but just 4 home runs, 31 RBIs. That is not like him at all. All the while, he was subject of trade speculation with just 1 full year remaining on his contract with Toronto. Those questions, they're not going to go anywhere either. The winter meetings will likely be all about him, fellow star Vlad Guerrero Jr. Buy or sell, Bob, Bichette has played his last game with the Blue Jays.
I'm selling it. They're going to listen to offers for sure, but that trio with Bichette, Vlad Jr., and Biggio, Kevin Biggio, he's gone. It didn't work out. They were arguably the biggest disappointment in baseball here. I know the White Sox have lost 120 games, but nobody was picking them to win their division. This was going to be the year that Toronto was going to level up, and instead they're going to finish in last place. I think they might give it one more go around there, Nolan, and if not happening, then next year they might be selling at the All-Star break. So I will sell that he's played his last game for the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll come back, talk some NFL. Steelers are 3-0. What? Minnesota's 3-0. No, they're not. Yes, they are. All sorts of... And San Francisco's 1-2. They choked away a lead yesterday against the injury-decimated Rams. And I know San Francisco's banged up, but come on, we'll get into all of that and more. Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, American League East and Beyond report. I guess that imaging never got turned around, huh? Then we got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll look at our picks. Forgettable weekend, I'm thinking, when it came to our picks in college and pro football.
Yeah, I think so.
And then John Mioli talking about the Orioles, who have had a forgettable second half, but they built up enough equity that they're going to the playoffs. How dangerous could they be? And at what strength will they be heading into opponent to be determined mode? As week 3 wraps up, let's talk about what's happened so far. Look ahead to tonight's games from CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back to the show Jared Dubin. Jared, good afternoon. What's happening?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing all right. Well, the Steelers are 3-0. The Vikings are 3-0. And it's all very touching, reminiscent of Super Bowl IX and all of that fun stuff. But what's been the more surprising 3-0 for you?
I think the Steelers, just given the fact that they haven't really played well at all on offense. And these days, you would think that it would be very difficult to start a season 3-0 without playing well offensively. But they've managed to do it, and I think a lot of that has to do, obviously, their defense is very good, but also scoring in general is down so far this season, and that's played into their favor because the fact that they haven't been as good offensively is not hurting them as much.
Now, we talk about surprises here as we head into week 4 of the NFL season. Seattle is 2 games up in the NFC West. They're 3-0. Everybody else is 1-2. Where's that hit Jared Dubin in the surprise meter right now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm surprised that San Francisco is 1-2. Obviously, they've been dealing with no Christian McCaffrey, and this week no Deebo Samuel or George Kittle. But, I mean, the 49ers had that game won yesterday and kind of gave it away. Started with that missed field goal by Jake Moody, and then there was a play, I think, on the next drive. It was either the next drive or that drive where Brock Purdy had Brandon Ayuk wide open down the field for what should have been a 50-yard touchdown and just turned down the throw for some reason to throw into traffic, and that pretty much would have put the game away. And then, you know, they have the coverage bust to let the Rams get deep into their own territory to give up the tying drive. So certainly them being 1-2 is surprising to me. You know, Arizona, a couple of tough games, you know, against the Lions and the Bills. Probably not that surprising that they lost those two. The Rams obviously have been dealing with a bunch of injuries early in the season. And, you know, Seattle, I think, probably has had the easiest schedule just through the first 3 weeks of those teams. So it may not be surprising that that team is 2-1. But, I mean, if you had told me before that the 49ers would start 1-2, I'd be like, all right, you know, is Kyle Shanahan not coaching them anymore? What happened here?
Hey, Jared, you got to really like the teams in the NFC North. I think, you know, they've all got outstanding coaching. You know, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers. And what the Packers did, you know, what LaFleur's done with Willis, you know, playing those 2 games has been really special. And the Lions going on the road to Arizona. I thought Arizona was probably primed to win that game. But Detroit showed what they are. And then the Vikings, like you said, their biggest shock. And then, do you know anything about Darnold's MRI?
No, I don't know anything about, you know, Darnold's MRI just yet. I do agree with you, though. That division might have the best offensive coaching, at least for three of the teams. I think what we've seen so far from the Bears' offense leaves a whole lot to be desired. It doesn't look like those guys are being put in position to succeed. But, I mean, between Ben Johnson, Kevin O'Connell, and Matt LaFleur, I mean, the way you're seeing them scheme up success for their teams is pretty incredible. You know, Ben Johnson obviously has been doing a great job in Detroit for the last few years. Now, look at the quarterbacks that Kevin O'Connell has been able to scheme into success in Minnesota. You know, Sam Darnold was kind of left for dead for like three teams at this point, and he's been playing at as high a level as anybody in the league through the first 3 weeks of the season. And then Malik Willis, like, you were not able to run a functional offense with him in Tennessee, and Green Bay's offense has been terrific over these last few weeks. And it's just really impressive. And at this point, if you don't have one of those guys that can put your offense in position to succeed, like we've seen through the first couple weeks of the season, scoring and yards are much harder to come by than they've been in the last few years. You're kind of working from behind if you don't have one of those guys.
Hey, Jared, what the Chiefs, they seem like they get every call. You know, every kind of call that's close goes their way. And what do you say about that? And then what? Travis Kelce looks old to me.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the play against the Bengals last week just was like very obviously pass interference. If you don't call that, you're deciding the game for the Bengals in the same way as if you do call it, you're deciding it for the Chiefs. And to me, if it's an obvious penalty, you just call it. I think they got away with just as obvious a penalty last night with Brian Cook in the back of the end zone. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, Bill Barnwell from ESPN had a good thread on Twitter last week sort of disputing the notion that the Chiefs get all of these, you know, lucky calls in terms of, you know, erasing interceptions and erasing bad plays for their offense. And that was a good examination of sort of the myth that gets dispelled when you look into the actual data there. But, you know, on Travis Kelce, I wrote something on Friday for CBSSports.com about what's been happening there. And I do think some of it is that he just looks a little bit slower than usual, which, by the way, makes sense. The dude is turning 35 years old in a couple weeks. And I do think they're also just sort of managing his reps, not necessarily from a route standpoint, but from an involvement and taking hits standpoint, because they have someone else now who can soak up all of that underneath stuff and creating yards after the catch in a way that they haven't had over the last few years because Rashee Rice has been so good. If you look at the design targets, Kelce has two design targets on the year going into last night's game, and there were, you know, I believe there were 17 screenplays with Kelce on the field coming into last night, and he had been the recipient of zero of them. And you compare that to past years, he was the recipient of like a quarter of the screens when he was on the field. They're just not designing stuff for him in the way they used to. And I think that a lot of that is to save him from the hits throughout the course of the season so he could be healthy for, you know, the probable Super Bowl run that they're going to go on. And because they have someone now who is really, really good at that stuff and can move their offense in the same way that it has been over the last few years during the Mahomes era.
How big a game is tonight's game for Jacksonville, sitting there at 0-2?
Oh, yeah. It sort of seems like they've been regressing ever since they got that sort of dead cat bounce season after firing Urban Meyer. They're just – it's really frustrating to watch them on offense because it doesn't seem like Doug Peterson and Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator, are putting those guys in position to succeed. And I think it looks like Trevor Lawrence is sort of – skittish behind that offensive line. He's taken sacks at a rate that's like more than twice as high as his career rate so far. Christian Kirk can't get open. He has two catches for, I think, 29 yards so far this year. Travis Etienne down at 3.8 yards per carry. Again, no Evan Ingram tonight. Like, there's just nothing working for them offensively right now, and they're kind of in a funk. And going against the Bills defense that's been good so far, you know, they're lucky that both Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard are out tonight. Maybe they can get some stuff going over the middle, but it really does not look good for them right now. They start 0-3. that's, you know, a big trouble situation.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jared, appreciate the time as always. Tell everybody what's happening on the website as we wrap up week three. Get ready for week four coming up Thursday.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And, you know, we got everything covered at CBSSports.com, always. Myself, along with a deep group of people that we have covering every aspect of the league.
Jared, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Jared.
You as well. Have a good night.
There's Jared Dubin, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report and beyond. What's going on? Final week of the regular season. Major League Baseball getting you ready for the playoffs. NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. We'll look back at our picks for college and pro this weekend. It was brutal for all of us. Like, spoiler alert. And then John Mioli, Baltimore batter. Talk about the Orioles. Six games left. They're four up for that last wild card. They're going to the playoffs, but how scary are they going to be one way or another?
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Time for your AL East and Beyond report here on this Monday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. The Orioles lose yesterday 4-3 to the Tigers. They were down 3-0. They tied it at 3. Looked like Kowser was going to put them ahead. Then Meadows steals the home run. And then Carpenter hits his second home run of the game. Orioles 0-8. Runners in scoring position. Cedric did hit a two-run shot. Suarez gave up three home runs. Albert Suarez's earned run average in September sits at a robust 7.24. Orioles continue to struggle, as we said many times, with runners in scoring position. 0-8. Saturday was totally unacceptable loss. Again, coming from behind, but couldn't get over the hump. So the Orioles, as we talked about earlier, since June 20th, when they blew out the Yankees 17-5, 49-25 at the time, they're 37-45 in more than a half season worth of games. Try to regroup in the Bronx tomorrow. Orioles 86-70, 42-33 on the road. Dean Kramer, who's been outstanding, going up against Clark Schmidt. Yankees trying to win the East for the first time in a couple of years. Remember, New York didn't even make the playoffs last season. And the Orioles have had their number last couple of years, especially in the first half of this season. But we'll see. Bubbly going to be popped for both teams probably over the next 3 days in the Bronx. But speaking of the Yankees, they're in Oakland. Hey, the A's only have three games left in Oakland, and that's it. They're done. They become the nomad team until they eventually get settled in Las Vegas. But Yankees say goodbye to the A's at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum with Aaron Judge doing Aaron Judge stuff.
High fly ball, center field and deep. Rodé back on the track, at the wall. See ya! A home run to dead center. 55, and the Yankees lead 3-2.
7-4 was the final score. Michael Kay on Yes Network, as you heard, Aaron Judge's 55th homer of the season as New York sweeps the Oakland A's to finish out their long storied history there with the A's in Oakland. Up at Fenway Park, the Minnesota Twins, they're on fumes. And Boston had none of it. Hey, that's your problem. We're going to do this to you.
Swings and drives this one high and deep. That one's back there sailing. Oh, my! It is gone! Tristan Casas, three home runs today.
Nestled on the call, Tristan Casas, as you heard, went deep three times in game one as Boston clobbers the Twins 8-1. Blow them out again in the nightcap 9-3. Losing pitcher for Minnesota in game two, Cole Irvin.
Ooh,
how about that? So Cole Irvin thought he got himself in a little late season pennant stuff for the Twins, and they still may get into it. We'll give you the standings here in a second, but not enough yesterday. So the Red Sox sweep Minnesota because Detroit won. Detroit has now passed the Twins for that last wild card in the American League. What else we got going on here? Texas 6-5 over Seattle. Yesterday, Rangers, they're already eliminated, defending champs, but they do a number on the Mariners' hopes to catch Houston, who lost to the Angels 9-8, and San Francisco beat Kansas City 2-0. Royals have lost seven consecutive games. Oh, Blake Snell. Remember how good he was against the Orioles a couple days ago? Just as good, six innings, nine Ks, as Kansas City gets shut out again by San Francisco. Standings in the American League East, Yankees 6 up on the Orioles with 6 to play, so their magic number is 1. That'll get settled here maybe as early as tomorrow. Cleveland 7.5 up on Kansas City. They've already clinched the division. And Houston right now 5 up on Seattle as they play starting tonight, as we said. Philadelphia, they're still trying to win the East, and they will, but the Mets aren't going quietly. Philadelphia is 5 games up on the Mets. Brujas have already clinched the division, and the Dodgers are 3 up on San Diego, trying to close that one out. San Diego's on fire, by the way. Wild cards in the American League, if the playoffs started today, the Orioles would still face Kansas City because they've got the tiebreaker over Detroit. So Detroit would go to Houston. Minnesota's on the outside looking in right now, a game back. And Seattle's 2 out of the wild card. So they're not done yet, but there's some tiebreaker craziness going on there as well. In the National League, it's down to 4 teams. Everyone else has literally been eliminated officially. San Diego's still chasing the Dodgers, the Mets, and Diamondbacks. The Braves are 2 back there. So still some drama going on in that one. Schedule for Major League Baseball as we get into this Monday night. It's relatively quiet in regards to games played, but you got some big series coming up. And let's see here. You got the Cubs and Phillies. The Rays and Tigers. Tampa's won 4 in a row. They're 4 out of the wild card, so they still have something to play for. Kansas City's going to be at the Nationals there. The Mets and the Braves start a big series. Ooh. In Atlanta. So there's Marlins are taking on the Twins. We're trying to stay alive in the Mariners and Astros. As we said, they got it going on out there in Houston. So still some big games to be played. Saturday's game originally scheduled for 2:05. Orioles at Minnesota now moved to a primetime for Fox as the Twins are still trying to John Travolta, BG's it, staying alive in the American League. We got time for a call. Nolan McGraw. Before we get to the top of the hour, it's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan NFL Lunch. Coming up top of the hour, let's go Aaron in Towson. Aaron, thanks for holding us up.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Aaron.
Two things. First of all, I on the safety, that wasn't a safety.
Right.
That wasn't a safety. What do you have to do? I mean, he's getting tackled. He throws the ball away to avoid the tackle. No receiver, and you throw it to a offensive lineman. Did I miss something?
That's intentional grounding, I think.
That's right? What I thought, too. I thought it was intentional grounding. I thought it was a safety, and they called that it was an incomplete pass, illegal touching by the offensive tackle, which, to me, that was kind of BS. The Ravens should have had 2 more points there.
Right. Second thing, I've been saying the first 2 games, if you put Henry and Ricard in the backfield, you can go play action all day, and they did it, and it finally worked. Do you think they'll stick, that you'll see that again?
Well, I think you're going to see it again. Why? Because they had so much success running. So when, you're getting ready to play the Buffalo Bills, we've got to stop the run. So you fake a run up inside, the linebackers are attacking. Yeah. So I think we'll see it, and we'll see it more now because of the success that they've had running.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks, guys.
All right, yep. Aaron, thanks for the call. Let's go get Ed and Arbutus, who's been holding patiently. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, Bob, Vinny, good day to both you gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Some brief Raven recap comments. In all sports, and especially football, because you got 22 moving object players on every play, you can't be obsessed with the word winning, but instead be obsessed with the fundamentals that collectively make you a winner. Raven team blocking yesterday, up front, fullback, tight ends inclusive, engaged and outstanding throughout the entire game. All Raven ball carriers and receivers shaking first contact for North only valuable yak yardage. We saw it with Aguilar, we saw it with the tight end. All ball carriers and receivers were heading north only once they cleared. And the Ravens stand-up defenders, they're getting knocked a little bit today, but they attempted to play hands-on physical pass coverage to frustrate the Dallas receivers. And I think we saw some frustration from the Dallas receivers. Kyle Hamilton, T. textbook run through the tackle skills on display the entire game. Tremendous. And he hits. Running back, Justice Hill. One jump cut and go. Derrick Henry hit the scrimmage line, holds square. Second and third tier, devastating stiff arm for clearance distance. Best I've ever seen. Another subject, as the gentleman just mentioned, referees. Scratching my head on the end zone flip from Prescott to an O lineman who caught the ball. We definitely got robbed. We definitely got robbed 2 points there.
Yeah.
And the picture perfect quarterback pressure hit by Owe in the target area, you couldn't do it any better. So you can see he's been working on that, and the Raven defensive linemen as a unit have been working on that. And he was definitely robbed there, and it led to a score. Message to the NFL, announcing the onside kick attempt to your opposition. Scrap it. It's unnecessary. It takes away the unknown strategy element of the sport. And two past examples of that I've witnessed, it happened in championship games. Kansas City kicker Jan Stenerud years ago, acting as if he was going to reset the ball after the referee blew it in play on the kicking tee. He reached down and quick punch kicked it with his foot, recovered it himself, and it sent the Raiders packing in the championship game. Saints coach Peyton in a Super Bowl, onside kick, first play of the second half, propelled his team to a championship. And the last thing today, gentlemen, I appreciate your courtesy. Lamar Jackson remains an NFL warrior. He competes every single play. That's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Ed. Thanks for the call. As always, a lot to dissect there. We will, when we come back, NFL Lunch, going to hear more from John Harbaugh. Rashad Bateman, he had a touchdown yesterday. Going to hear from him. We'll get to our picks. Yikes. They were bad for booze. I mean, we had to drink. It was so bad, I had to drink away the pain of the picks. And then John Mioli talking about the Orioles, who have been sub-500 for over half a season. Can they get it together as they're getting some of their pieces back heading into October?
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.